Welcome to this month's special guest interview.
This month, I'm very pleased to have Gabriel Lightfriend as my special expert guest. Gabriel Lightfriend has been involved in the natural health and healing movement for the past 30 years. Although he earned a degree in physical education at the University of British Columbia, much of his commitment towards health has included owning and operating a natural food store, teaching workshops on energy balancing and meditation, and fulfilling his longtime role as the sales and marketing manager for Flora Incorporated, a respected leader in the field of herbal medicine. Gabriel is the author of two recently published books, A Brighter Life, which focuses on self-empowerment and holistic approaches in battling cancer, and Flowers of Light, which offers an inspirational journey through life as seen through the eyes of an aging seeker and his illuminating garden. Gabriel currently works with Life Extension as Northwest Regional Sales Manager. In this role, he supports health food stores, integrative medical clinics, holistic pharmacies, and practitioners with anti-aging product education through seminars, staff training, radio, and literature. Good morning, Gabriel, and welcome to this month's edition of Sports Nutrition Update.
Good morning, Corey.
Gabriel, it's great to have you on the line. Of course, we've known each other for many, many years. We both started in the industry together, but perhaps I know that our listeners will really be interested in knowing how you got involved for the first time in the natural health movement.
Yeah, for sure. It goes back a long ways, back when the industry wasn't very well known. In fact, in those days, probably, 35 years ago, it was more like you were a freak or something just because you're into nutrients. But what got me started was I was from a sports family. My dad and his brother played baseball. My dream was to play football, but back in junior high school, I was only 97 pounds. I actually got picked last in this kind of a draft in those days, if you call it, because of my size. So I started taking health shakes. My dad took me down to the health food store. And, in those days, you were taking a lot of protein, raw eggs, wheat germ, and milk. And I started doing weight training. No one else I knew was doing this except a few people I inspired to do it. So it was my interest in my initiation into the health food movement, and I did it for about 4 years. 2 years after it started, I went from 97 pounds to 165 pounds, and I became a star running back in high school. Then I went to UBC and focused more on health. I actually got my degree in physical education, and I competed on the gymnastics team while there. And one of the courses I was taking at UBC, they asked to bring in a guest, and I actually brought in a guest from a health food store. Actually, it was from the store we both met in Vancouver Health Foods, believe it or not. And they did a lecture, and they kind of impressed the people because no one on our gym team was taking supplements. And that was kind of my initiation to understanding that, geez, maybe there's something to this. These people make sense. People are starting to get intrigued about it. And it really started me reading books like Catherine Elwood, Feel Like a Million in those days was a popular seller. And we felt that, by eating better food, we could live better, feel healthier, have more energy, perform better, and so on. So back then, it might have been rare, but obviously we were attracted to it, and we ended up answering an ad in a paper to work in a health food store.
Well, I remember doing the same thing and going in for the first time and looking at all the bottles on the wall and just being inundated with a massive amount of information in my head that I knew that I would have to come to terms with. But I think that was the secret and the key, is that both you and I loved it. We fell in love with the industry, with the principles. And from there, then, we all went our separate ways after that good basic start in that health food store in Vancouver. And you went on to own your own natural food store. So what was that like?
I enjoyed it a lot. That was one of the highlights of my life because, of course, running your own business, you can do what you want. So I kept getting deeper and deeper into health. I read a lot of books on detoxification. I read Ann Wigmore's books on Hippocrates' diet using wheatgrass and raw live foods. A lot of books by Norman Walker and Pablo Arola, Bernard Jensen, on detoxifying, on cleaning out the colon, which after years, I realized I was brought up on some pretty heavy foods, milk, eggs, meat, potatoes, white bread. And, you know, my body was congested. I knew it. And one of the books that really inspired me was The Mucusless Diet Healing System by Arnold Arendt. Really, he focused on cleansing out the heavy mucus and the mucus-forming foods that congest the body and become a precursor for disease. So my story ended up becoming like a real counseling, reaching out to people to actually clean out their bodies, to clean out their diet, to eat more raw foods. And I became a raw foodist for 3 years, and I fell high as a kite. But I went from 97 pounds when I was like 16 to 165 pounds in football, and now I'm back down on a raw food diet at 135 pounds. What that whole process taught me is to find a healthy balance. Health is all about balance. By being whole doesn't mean you become an extremist and just eat raw foods or just becoming, you know, a bodybuilder and eat tons and tons of heavy protein and mucus-forming foods. You got to find a balance so that the body can, you know, everything in life is cyclical. Everything in life is balanced. And if you go off on a tangent, then you're going to reap the repercussions. So owning a health food store was an enlightening experience, and, you know, in a lot of ways I'd like to do it again, although it, like you say, it's gotten more complicated, so many more products out there, so many more brands and competitors, and it's changed from the days when it was kind of this innocent look at health.
Yeah, no doubt. Now, from there, then you move to supply side, which is kind of the next step up the ladder, and not only that, but then you took a company into the United States and, you know, helped them with distribution and marketing. So tell us about that experience and what you learned as a supplier as opposed to a retailer.
Working with Flora was a real privilege. At the time, they were probably the leading company in Canada in terms of the health food industry, in terms of herbal manufacturing. And they have a parent company in Germany called Salus House, which was also one of the world leaders in making herbal tonics. They actually started the first health food stores back in Germany in 1916. So working with this company was really working with a pioneer and a leader in a lot of ways. And to watch them evolve from a small company over the years, I was there for 18 years, into a leading manufacturer in the industry, it was quite enlightening. What I always admired about Flora was their commitment to quality. You know, they had their own farms, they grew their own certified organic herbs, they purchased only the best quality materials, they packaged in glass instead of plastic bottles, so they're environmentally friendly, they use natural herbs and ingredients in their bases of their products and formulations instead of synthetic ingredients. So they taught me that a solid foundation, you know, a clear vision is really the key to success. It's the key to a lot of things. It's the key to your dreams. It's the key to maintaining optimum health. It's having a solid foundation. And, you know, I'll always remember those things, and I'll try and incorporate them in the years ahead.
Yeah, no doubt. So you were inspired to write from there, and you've written a couple of books now. But, you know, since I've known you, you were always talking about, you know, putting a book together. You wanted to write and express yourself and some of the great thoughts you had and what you had learned. So what leads a person to start writing? Is it inherent? Is it a call that you have? What was your experience like?
It had to be a calling. You know, no one sat down and said, hey, you should write. I actually was poor in English when I went through school. So I started writing down thoughts. You know, I was always looking out the window at school. I was the one that was always wondering what was over the next hill, why we live the way we do in our structured routines in school and work and play, and why people act the way they did. I was quite quiet as a person, so I started doing a lot of exploring inwardly. I read a lot of books on Eastern philosophy, meditation, you know, how to find God, all that thing. And eventually, over the years, I started writing a lot of my thoughts down. I had a whole suitcase, and so by the time I met you, I think I had a half suitcase full of these writings, and they eventually evolved. You know, one day I met a guy in a hiking boot store. I was getting some homemade hiking boots, and he was an old man. He was 65, and he said, you know, we just started talking, and I started talking about the fact that I was writing a book, and he said, well, don't do what I did, you know, and he said he had all these notes he'd written up over the years, and he never did anything with it. He never published his book, and he never fulfilled his dream. I'll never forget that. And you know, so always I was haunted by the fact that I can't be like him. I gotta be a writer. I gotta get a book. So when I was at Fleur, after 18 years, I actually went to the owner. I said, I really have this dream that's unmet. And he actually helped me. He encouraged me, actually, to, you know, let go of my job, fulfill my dream. And, you know, I quit. I quit a very prominent position, a well-paying position, to actually fulfill a dream as a writer. And that was 4 years ago, and now I've written two books.
That's incredible, Gabriel. You know, you're so right about taking a step back and through self-examination coming to terms with what it is that you really should do and need to do. And so many of us are sort of caught up by the trappings of this life, the modern life, and we get sucked into a vortex, and before you know it, we're so far gone it's even impossible for us to even think about coming out of it. You know, we're committed financially with everything else that goes along with it. So you know, it's just brilliant to have seen you do that. I admire you for that. And to have the book in my hand now, and I really want to talk about this book. It's a great book. The way you put it together, it's very unique. And A Brighter Life, Solving the Puzzle Called Cancer. Now, obviously, you know, cancer, you're implying that there's a puzzle. So if I were to get this book and have a read through it, what's your primary message in the book?
Well, I think what you reiterated is that, you know, we are stuck in routines. We're getting older. I just turned 56. You just turned 50, didn't you, last year?
51, actually. I'm hitting on a 52.
Yeah, so we're getting older, and as we get older, not only the body starts to deteriorate just from just natural aging, but we also start to look at life and feel different about life. You know, we're no longer, you know, right now we're getting older. We're not part of that youthful technology generation that sees the world and acts differently. You know, we came from a different school, and you know, we have people, we have families that start to separate and do their own thing, and friends move on. We're in a very volatile world, and it takes a toll on people. So basically, A Brighter Life is all about how to deal with that, how to deal with all these earth changes and the speed of living and the cost of living, and how do we transcend that and find ourselves, find our dreams, find our inspiration. So it's all about self-empowerment, and you know, it's sad because we know, you know, basically, like in Canada, 1 in 3 people will die from cancer. That's a statistical fact. In the States, about 560,000 Americans die each year from cancer. Those are huge numbers. Those outdo any war. They outdo 9/11. They're just huge numbers. And somehow, you know, we're stuck in there. We accept it, but at the same time, it surrounds us and it haunts us. And so many people are waiting for a cure. You know, I don't believe there's such a thing as a cure. I think the cancer is basically just a natural phenomenon that happens because the way we live, the speed at which we live our life, the personality that kind of we go through as we lose touch with people and how the world operates, the toxins in our diet, all those type of things, the habit patterns we remain stuck in. So the family that unites together in A Brighter Life takes a hard look at all these things, and they discover new ways of dieting, eating more healthier, wholesome foods, more alkaline foods. They discover new ways of appreciating the wisdom in nature by looking at traditional medicine and how it operated, which was basically finding a balance of not just the body, but of the mind, the emotions, and the spirit, and new ways of thinking about the way they see things. And let me read a quote, a little small quote from the book, when the mother's kind of confused about how the world's changing and she's lost her place as kind of the nurturer of the family and her friends have all gone away. And the son says, "Perhaps it's an illusion, Mom. I often think the world we see in front of us is just energy, a palette of vibrating pixels. The more we adhere to the image, the more we struggle with the pixels in our present life. We hold on to problems, we hold on to habits, and we hold on to emotions that only we have created. If we free our minds from the things we never really had, we can paint a brand new world." And a lot of people forget that they are in control. They can paint their own world. They can choose their own path. And, you know, that's how they become empowered. If we don't follow that, if we just feel like we're part of a big system and we have no control, I think that's when we get into the poor dietary habits, where our mind feels suppressed, where we can't sleep and we're restless, and we get into negative lifestyle patterns. The thing called cancer might might kill one in three people in Canada, but there's an opportunity that it's there because it teaches us that, you know, we need to live a better life. We need to live a more spiritual-based life, and then we won't be one of those victims.
You know, I think the difference between our generation and our parents is that they didn't even think about seeing the world through different lens. They kind of had a framework of thought, and that's the way it was, and they didn't even think about the possibility that what they were seeing was possibly an illusion. Where I think today, now, not everybody is moving away from that frame of propaganda. You know, we're kind of given what we are supposed to believe as reality, and that's controlled by corporations and media, and I can really see that in the States here. But what you're suggesting is very powerful. Now, my favorite chapter was called Healing Thoughts. I just thought this was great. And you said that, I quote, "Life offers no guarantees no matter what we choose. The courage it takes to remain dedicated to the choices we make, regardless of the opinions of others, is often more admirable than the choices themselves." And how important is that, Gabriel, to actually stay true to your own ideals and not be swayed or influenced by other people?
It's been my life path, you know, and it's hard. You know, it's hard to be the person that kind of takes the left path in the forest, you know, versus the one that's well-tread, you know, and it takes more courage and strength. But you do it because you feel that's your calling, you know, and that's why you end up writing and wanting to say, that was my experience, you know, I felt funny about this, but through it all, I'm whole, and I accomplished a few things I wanted to, and I felt I lived a life that was mine, not an assembly line life.
Now, you've got another great chapter. There's a lot of good stuff in this book, and I do recommend this book to all our listeners, all our CHI members and students as part of the library. You know, Gabriel has a tremendous insight into life here and a lot of industry fitness and health-related experience. But you've got 10 steps for overcoming cancer in the appendix. And one of the 10, it's labeled personal research. Now, from a practical point of view, let's say that someone in my family has been diagnosed with cancer. What would your advice be to that family, to that person, and to the friends, colleagues, or family members of that person who's just been diagnosed? How do they go about finding information?
You know, that's kind of how the book started. You know, the son is and the daughter is out east. The father is doing his hobbies, and the mother all of a sudden comes down with this breast cancer. And of course they all go like, you know, well, is she going to die? And, you know, is it cancer or whatever? And it happens to a lot of families. And so everyone kind of goes through a shock phase. But this family, they actually kind of came together. They moved back home and they actually started looking at all the available research. And it happens in the book, the son was a journalist, so he was used to looking at research. There's so much available out there on the internet. You know, when I wrote this book, you can get tons of information for free from the American Cancer Society and different organizations, which I list in the back of the book. You can go to different doctors. There's obviously oncologists and specialists who deal with cancer. There's integrated healing centers. There's one in Vancouver called Inspire Health, and they just see cancer from a whole different angle. You know, that it's bigger than just like this negative disease, that it involves much more in terms of lifestyles and toxins and ideals and not just, you know, you're the unlucky victim, you know. So doing research is really key. Talking to other people, going to the health food stores, looking what's available. You know, I think that's the whole message, whether it's cancer or any disease. You know, we just don't go to the doctor and say, what do I do? I'm a victim here. You know, this is why the book is all about self-empowerment. Life is about self-empowerment. We're not here just to have someone wait on us and point a finger to say, do this and do this. We're here to actually experience life and learn about life, and that's how we grow.
Yeah, amen. Amen, brother. Now, in the industry, when you and I were working together, it goes way back, we learned about herbs, and there was different products that they were promoting for cancer. Do you remember the Jason Winters tea?
definitely.
Yeah. A lot of people don't even know that anymore. I don't even know if it's around. I've been in several health food stores. That was kind of cool. And then I learned about Easiac tea and this whole story about the Indians and about this nurse. And then, of course, fluorescence came out. And that's something that I know that you were involved heavily with and with Flora. So, you know, that's a great product, not just for cancer, but for just general health and for its immunological value. But maybe you can tell us a little bit about fluorescence and what's in it and what it can do.
Yeah, I actually met Jason Winters. I remember back when I read his book, and we sold a lot of his tea. And I actually met him a year ago in Las Vegas, so he's still out there, still selling his tea. Fluorescence is a different formula. It's actually got 8 herbs. They're synergistic herbs, and they work basically they work at the cellular level. Everything starts at the cellular level. I was just reading the other day, you know, about our genes. You know, we've got trillions of cells in our body. There's something like 50,000 genes in each cell. And in each cell, there's a handful of what we call oncogenes, or cancer, potentially cancer-causing genes. So a lot of the exploration in cancer treatment right now is really done at the gene level, at the cell level. And fluorescence works at that level to actually protect the cell, to invigorate the cell, so it's youthful and it's strong, and it's not going to be invaded by, like, an aggressive cell or an aggressive gene. You know, it's not going to get out of hand. It controls it. So fluorescence works at the cellular level. It also works on cleaning the blood out, the herbs in there, sheep soil, burdock root, wheatgrass, some of the herbs that clean the blood out. It helps detoxify the liver, the colon. It keeps food moving, toxins moving. You know, we're bombarded with toxins. And basically right now at this point, the American Cancer Society is basically saying and recognizing that toxins are the key factor in contributing to cancer. So we get thousands and thousands of toxins in our food, in our air, in our water, and so on, in car exhaust if we live in big cities. So apart from that, we have a lot of control. You know, unfortunately, we don't necessarily always exercise it. We're America is the number one consumer in ice cream consumption, something like, you know, a pint every week on average is the average. That's loaded with chemicals and fat and sugar, and they all congest the body. The American Soft Drink Association says the average person in the States drinks about 612 ounce servings of soda pop per year. That's a lot of sugar. And you're starting to wonder why, you know, 1 in 3 kids are pre-diabetic or diabetic, or they're overweight or obese. You know, and I heard a quote the other day that said, we could be the first generation where many of the parents actually outlive their offspring. So that's the kind of world we live in. You know, where's it going to be 20 years from now? We got to use these supplements. We got to detoxify. We got to use these remedies like fluorescence and take a lot of antioxidants, because we don't live normal lives. We don't live natural. We don't live in harmony with nature and the rhythms of the seasons. We kind of are on a time schedule, and it takes its toll. So the remedies we've been able to come across, these detox formulas, these anti-aging formulas, the green juices, I like to take a lot of green products. I actually take, my big thing is taking a health shake every day. I put in green powder from, you know, concentrated barley or wheatgrass. I put in enzymes, I put in bee pollen, I put in aloe vera juice, and, you know, throw in some juice and frozen berries. By taking that every day, I also throw in essential fatty acids. I just pour it out of the bottle. I don't even measure. I just throw, you know, a good wallop of flax oil or flax oil blend. I think by doing those things every day, it's kind of like your self-assurance, your maintenance, that all these outer things aren't going to do you in. And I think people should look at that and start to honor that, because it's hard to be too extreme, and it's hard to not be part of the system where, you know, you can't eat on time, and you're eating food sometimes too fast, and you don't have time to sit down and make all your meals. You're eating out in restaurants. Compensate that by having at least something wholesome, a wholesome cornerstone in your life, in your diet path. You know, do that, exercise regularly, take time to meditate, to calm the mind. Those are really important parts of conquering our life and our health, and you know, being happy and dis-ease-free.
Yeah, no doubt. No doubt. It seems like easier said than done. I remember, you know, we've all heard that you should be moderate, right? take a moderate approach, moderation in all things. And I thought, okay, moderation in all things, that statement is extreme. That means you're being moderate, which is an extreme, so therefore you're no longer moderate. So, yeah. You know, the sort of labyrinth that we get caught up in terms of our mind and what we're thinking about and what we're doing, it's unbelievable, you know, like, I know that you do this too, but you try to connect with where people are, what they're thinking about, and you know yourself, and you teach this in your book and your principles, that as you think, so you are, and so you've got to get inside, you've got to change your thoughts to really get well. How much of a role does your thought life play in cancer, do you think?
Well, I think that somewhere down the road, we're going to find that our thoughts and emotions are actually paramount in terms of our health and our level of disease or having imbalanced thoughts or negative thoughts. They're the precursor to me to all our diseases, because if we're always thinking negative about the world we live in, if we're depressed versus cheerful, if we're afraid versus confident, if we're impatient versus patient, if we feel rejected versus feeling accepted, those are going to eat away at us. And emotions, they affect the endocrine system. There's a great book called Vibrational Medicine by Dr. Richard Gerber, which I talk about in my book, and how the emotions trigger the endocrine system to go off kilter. And so your adrenals aren't working, your digestive juices aren't working, your thyroid's not working, your immune system depressed. All these kind of regulating things get out of kilter. Takes a long time to do that with our diet and with our the foods we eat. But with emotions, it can happen instantly. It can happen, you know, if you're in a room and someone comes in and your boss just totally tears into you. You hold on to that and you take it home with you, and it sits in your head, and that noise stays there, sometimes day in, day out, week in, week out. So the type of emotional trauma we experience, wherever it comes from, wherever the source, those things tend to congest the body. We hold on to them in certain areas of the body. I have a chart in my book which shows you which organs have an affinity or vibration rate that's similar to particular thoughts. And so where we hold those thoughts, that part of the body doesn't get the oxygen, the blood flow, the lymphatic flow. So that's where the disease sets in. It's not a matter of like, well, the organ's old, it's their time, you know, or we've eaten too many heavy foods. Those all contributed, but I still believe that if we're healthy, and especially if we're wholesome in thought, if we believe that the world is perfect the way it is, everything in this perfect place at the perfect time, that we appreciate everyone for what they do and how they operate in life, we tend to let go of judgment and fear, and we start to appreciate the magic of life. And that's what my first book, Flowers of Light, is all about. You know, I think if we can sit back and look at life from a different standpoint, let me read one of my favorite quotes from my first book. It says, and you've seen this on my wall at home, it says, embrace life for the way it is and learn to love the space you are in. There is no better place to go to. There's only a more splendid state to be in. So that's sometimes the hardest thing to do. The highest challenge we have is to accept the world for the way it is, you know. And, but, you know, to me, the most we can inherit on our journey, the most we can give on our journey is love. And if we can stay in that place and honor that space, be with our families, love the people we've met in life, you know, spend time together, talking about positive things, making each other laugh, healing each other, supporting each other by eating good food and going for walks in the fresh air. To me, that means a lot nowadays. It doesn't cost anything. It doesn't put us in a recession. But it makes it a nicer world to be in.
Yeah, no kidding. Wow, that's powerful. What a great message, Gabriel. You know, I'm just thinking, we've known each other for a long time, and just holding on to the thoughts of health and wellness, that I've seen you evolve and aspire and grow and become the giant that you become in the industry, and a real leader and a mentor and a teacher. And it's just great to see you doing what you're doing and fulfilling your dream, and to see the book now. And I can share that through this technology with people. And that is so cool compared to being in that little health food store in Vancouver and on 4th Avenue there, and going back to the very beginning, and then looking at our past and our trail and our our process. So that's really, really, really cool. Just before we end, I want to talk about your connection to Life Extension, because I'm a member and I get their magazine and I use the website in many ways. I recommend it to people and friends and clients and et cetera as a research source. But and I've got their book, Disease Prevention, which is like a dictionary, and it's got a great section there on sports nutrition. But just very quickly, tell us about Life Extension and what people can find by going to the site and about their supplements.
Yeah, well, Life Extension, it's a little different than what my past has been about. It's more with looking at cellular changes as we get older. You know, our hormones go out of balance. There's a process called glycation where the proteins combine with the sugars in the cells and they congest the cells so they don't function normally. You know, we're all going to get older, but Life Extension has done more research than any other organization in terms of looking at all the factors involved in aging and coming up with formulas. They have over 300 formulas that protect the body from premature aging. And, you know, it's another level. It's just another path down the road. It's another type of path. But as we get older, it's teaching me that, you know, it's nice to eat good food and all that, but your body does wear down, your joints wear down, your hormones change, especially with men and women in their 50s and 60s, and we can't prevent that. That's just a natural occurrence. And so as you get older, you kind of need those support tools. You know, you just don't want to rely on a good diet. You think that, okay, at least that's my foundation, but genetically this is going to happen. It happened to my mom, happened to my dad. Now I'm going through this because of this lifestyle I eat. So they have these supplements that can pretty well handle any part of our anti-aging deterioration. And it's fun to, you know, look at the science side of things. I still feel nature's the best healer, that we give our body things that support the body's ability to heal itself. I'll always believe that, even though we've discovered the answer in a test tube or in a research lab. But they do a lot of research, and their website's always got the latest thing. They just had someone talking on resveratrol on 60 Minutes. They just had Suzanne Summers, who has a book on bioidentical hormones, and her book on the breakthrough diet. It's got a chapter on Life Extension. You can phone, get the products direct from their insight, www.lifeextension.com. You can become a member, or you can buy the products in the stores or from your practitioner. So they've really expanded. They're a worldwide company, and you know, I'm kind of privileged to be working with them.
Yeah, that's great, Gabriel. That's wonderful. I mean, you're an asset on their team, and I'm sure you'll enjoy it and gain some new insight. Well, it looks like our time is gone. Gabriel, you've got a website that our listeners and members can get to. What is that?
Yeah, I didn't want you to forget that. It's just my name, www.gabriellightfriend.com, and it profiles both my books on there. If people want to order my book, I have a distributor. The number is 1-866-972-6650. So they can order either book from that distributor. And I look forward to seeing you again down the road shortly.
Absolutely. It sounds like we'll be connecting at the Anaheim Expo West just around the corner.
Yeah, I'll be there. Yeah, working at the booth, and definitely we'll get together.
Absolutely. Okay, so the website, everyone, is Gabriel Lightfriend, and on the SNU archives, you can find Gabriel's bio, and the website will be displayed there just for a click. It'll take you to GabrielLightfriend.com. Gabriel, just a great interview. Thanks so much. I've been meaning to make this a reality for some time now. We've been doing this SNU thing for about 8 years, and now I've got you in my piggy bank. I've made a very strong and healthy deposit, and I feel very, very good about that. How about a final parting word from the master?
Hey, be yourself. I think that's our goal in life, is to be ourselves, to find our true nature and our true calling. And if we don't do it this lifetime, we'll kind of have to come back and do it again. So that's what we work for. That's what we live for, is to keep honoring that deep message inside that makes us feel purposeful and makes us feel alive. Yeah. I think we've both done that on our journey, and we'll keep doing it. You know, I think once you experience that, you're never going to let it go. You know, you want to inspire other people. We're all here to help each other. So thank God for you and your show and what we do. And I think we just keep reaching out to people.
Gabriel Lightfriend has been involved in the natural health and healing movement for the past 30 years. He is an author, and he is someone that we should take notice of. His experience, his life force, his research experience, and his life. Gabriel, we thank you very much.
Thanks, Corey. We'll talk soon.
We hope you've enjoyed the topics discussed and our special guest interview on this edition of Sports Nutrition Update. SNU is produced monthly and is distributed internationally by the Corey Hawley Institute. To learn how you can subscribe to this unique and motivational audio program, please visit CoreyHawley.com or call us toll-free in the U.S. and Canada at 1-866-433-1595. That's 1-866-433-1595. This is Scott Barrett, wishing you the very best of health and fitness for life.
Represent a lifestyle. New way of life. Listen. It's SNU, sing along, it's true. Yo, coming through straight. Malik with Sports Nutrition Update. Prolong your life, live long, stay strong, for it won't be long till your time is gone. So I sing this song to pass on wisdom. Hit us up at CoreyHawley.com. Love your life, live right, things will be alright. Knowledge is key, just follow our lead. You'll see a change in heart and health, which leads to wealth and higher self-esteem. Follow your dreams and see. Follow your dreams and see.